Thank you, Lord. Praise is to your name. Has God been good to you? Amen. He's so good. So good. I'm excited today. It's been a while. It's been a while. But I know that God has a word for you today, and I pray that I would be faithful to give you what God has given me to give you. And I can encourage you, and I can promise you one thing, that if you're not just a hearer but a doer of God's word, you'll be blessed. So please, put away all distractions and just say, Lord, speak to me. I love the God that I serve because he's a very personable God. And I couldn't plan a message that would speak to every one of you. But my God can do that. And so that's what I want. I want you to receive what God has for you, and I want to be obedient. Amen? So I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures, and I'm going to give you a word. The word that God gave me. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen? And we're going to find out why we should be obedient to that word. Amen? So in the Bible, the word rejoice is used to mean a variety of things. A choice to choose joy over hopelessness, to focus on God's actions instead of suffering, and to share joy with others. Experiencing God's grace, to experience God's grace even in difficult situations. A command to always praise the Lord and to rejoice in God's salvation, which no one can take away. To see God's handiwork, to rejoice in the created world, and to grow in the knowledge of God. Rejoice. The scripture conveys that to rejoice in the Lord is to have joy or delight in the Lord, to feel joy when you think of him always. Isn't that the way we should? When we think of the Lord, it should bring peace. It should bring joy. It should be something very natural. But that's not the way it is all the time, right? Or am I the only one like that? I love the Lord, but I'm going through life. And I think of him, and sometimes I don't give him the credit that he deserves. He is still faithful. He is still good. He is still merciful. But my perception of my God has changed. So we want to rejoice. Amen? Amen. Joy is a normal fruit of the Spirit. We often consider happiness or joy as something that happens to us, not something that should flow from us. We don't consider joy as a duty to be performed, but as an emotional state to be received passively and involuntarily. But when we look at the concept of joy in the Bible, it is expressed as an imperative, something we do by faith. It is the Christian moral obligation to be joyful. It's an obligation, amen? And the failure of the Christian to be joyful is sin. What? It's sin. Because when God gives a commandment and we don't do it, what is it? It's sin. Amen. Unhappiness and lack of joy in many circumstances is the manifestation of flesh. Certainly, there are times when we are full of sorrow. Jesus himself called a man of sorrows. The scripture tells us that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to spend our days in the house of feasting. Even Jesus said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We must understand that it is legitimate to feel sorrow and grief, but a person can have a sense of joy even in the midst of mourning and profound grief. This is because of our sorrow is directed towards a circumstance, but our joy is focused on the flows from God. I want to share a testimony. Probably maybe a year ago, I had to go to a funeral. And I don't know what to say at a funeral if I don't know the person's destiny, where they're going. I have no words of encouragement because to me, that's my hope, that when we die, we're going to go before God. So I know this family. I know the family, the parents. So at the funeral, the mother, I saw her condition, and she was broken because she was brought up in church, and she believed that her daughter went home, but not the place that she wanted, because she was living a life that didn't please God. She was serving gods and Her life, the last probably 15 years, was just a world of chaos and letting in bad spirits in. And I was broken. I was broken because I saw her and I loved this lady. She was like a second or third mom because she cared for my mother right before my mother passed away. So I got very emotional. I said, Lord, I can't be emotional. Help me. And I grabbed her and I hugged on her. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I declare peace. And I held her and I wept. I let her go. After I let her go, I saw that she changed. Her countenance changed and something happened. And she told me three times in that day afterwards, she says, Ralph, she says, I didn't know what I was going to do with myself because I was so broken. But after you said that, God did something. And I have peace. You understand? You don't realize what you have in you. You don't realize what God has deposited in you. You have authority. You have power. But we have to be obedient to God's word. So he says, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. And that rejoicing is a tool that will not allow the enemy to bombard you with thoughts. Will not allow the enemy to lie and steal your joy. You rejoice. And as a thought comes into your mind, praise God, he is my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my protector. But if you're not rejoicing, you're going to listen to the words of the enemy. You're going to be distracted, easily distracted. So God says, rejoice. And so we're blessed when we obey the word of God. Joy, therefore, now being opposed to sorrow, is a fruit of the Spirit. It is our duty to be joyful. Rejoice is the Lord in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Being joyful is a matter of will. It's a choice. The key of being joyful at all times is in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. If Christ is in me and I in him, that relationship is constant. Therefore, there is always a reason for joy. Amen? So you could tell your circumstance, hush. Circumstance, I know that I'm behind 3 months in the rent. I know that my kid is sick. I know that somebody in my family was diagnosed with cancer. But I'm going to choose to believe the report of the Lord. So I'm believing that he's still my healer, my provider, my savior. And I'm going to tell that voice, hush. As Jesus spoke to the sea, we can speak to the circumstance. But you have to be rejoicing. You have to be thankful. You have to be grateful. And then God can keep encouraging you. We want so many instructions from the Lord, but we don't do what he tells us to do. And he's saying, rejoice. Amen? That is why in the midst of difficulties, we can rejoice in Christ. And because he is always present in us. The fruit of the Holy Spirit are not the same as the gift of the Holy Spirit. Gifts are distributed differently among various members of Christ's body. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, we are all to bear these fruits, a bit by differing degrees. This means that the more we grow in grace, the more joyful we become. The more we grow in grace, the more joyful we become. God has given us tools. He's given us gifts. He's given us fruits. And we have to grow in this. Amen? And as we grow, then it'll be evident, not only to us, but it'll be evident to the world. You know, again, a testimony. I remember I was working in the federal prison. I worked for about 13 years in the federal prison. God blessed me, and I grew from promotion to promotion. But I remember where we worked at one prison. It was in Texas. It was the penitentiary. At that time, it was the worst one in the country because every time they open up a federal prison, they dump all the ones that are problem makers, they dump it to the new one. So we got gangs from all over, and we would have shutdowns, and we would have killings. I mean, killings would happen. And so I remember that we were working 12-hour shifts on and off. Everybody had to show up every 12 hours, you know, because it was a hostile situation. And I remember that you know, at that time, God was just blessing me, and I was believing, you know, and trusting God. And I remember a friend of mine says, Ralph, how is it? How is it that you can have joy? How is it that you can have peace? You're working the same thing I'm working. You're doing what I'm doing. And I remember my answer was not something I thought of. It was just something that came out. And I said, I'm living in the reality that my Lord can come back at any second, and none of this is going to matter. That perspective kept me while I was in the federal government. It kept me when I was in prison, and I wasn't serving time, but I was working there, okay? I was in prison, and you know what? And I could have joy on my face. I could have words of encouragement, even for the inmates, because I figured while I was there, my God was able to protect me, and he did. And you know what? And I was grateful, because I heard, you know, if I had more time, I would tell you testimonies, even from inmates. There were Christian inmates, and they would tell me, and they would encourage me with God's faithfulness. So, again, it's for us to have that in mind, that we're here, but this is not where we end. This is temporary. We don't belong here. And everything that you're gaining and everything that you're bringing onto yourself, it's all temporary. And you put your value, you put your hope in that and not in God, then it's easy for you to be distracted. It's easy for you to lose your joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so why does the enemy come after your joy? Because then he makes you weak. But he can't make you weak if you're always worshiping, if you're always thanking. And worship is not about singing. We can't all be rosy. We can't all be my daughters. I'm intimidated at home when my girls sing and everybody sings. And I sing and they say, hush, daddy. And they do. They say, dad, you're a worshiper. You're not a singer. And I said, that's right. I'm a worshiper. So I'm telling you, I'm encouraging you. Don't worry about what anybody else is thinking. Worship God. Because it's not just about your singing. It's about a grateful heart. It's about a thankful heart. It's about, I just need one more breath, Lord, so I can thank you one more time. Because I know when I get to heaven, that's all I'm going to be doing. So practice, worship, be thankful, glorify God, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. When we read in Exodus 15, when we read about the Israelites rejoicing in the shore of the Red Sea, we can identify with that joy to some degree. They had just been delivered from the clutches of the enemy. The Egyptian soldiers who had been captors for so many years lay dead along the shore. The Hebrews had every cause to be joyful. But what about in darker times? What about the times when they were back in Egypt trying to make bricks without straw? What about the time when God led them into the wilderness? What about the time when they were trapped between their enemy and the seemingly impenetrable barrier of the sea? During those times, we do not read of their rejoicing. Mostly, we read of their complaining. Can't we, sinful as we are, identify with the Israelites, especially in those situations? And is it not easier to complain in the midst of trial rather than to count it all joy? But as believers filled with the Holy Spirit, we are commanded to be joyful in the Lord, no matter how difficult the situation. How do we do that? One way we find joy in the midst of sorrow is by fixing our eyes on heaven. Like I said, in one second, in one moment, all this can change. And you'll be before God. And all the worrying got you nowhere. All the sickness and the things that come with worrying got you nowhere. So remember, we don't know. Nobody knows if tomorrow's promised for you, unless the Lord tells you specifically, you're going to live tomorrow. So why worry about tomorrow? That's what the Bible says. Fix your eye on heaven. Amen? By remembering that life lasts for just a moment and that in a little while we will know complete joy. Another way that we find joy in the midst of sorrow is by rejoicing with those who rejoice and by delighting in the happiness of others instead of being preoccupied with our own troubles. It's easy to complain and murmur when you're just looking at yourself, right? If I'm just worried about me, my, and my family, whoa, that's a lot. But when you are able to rejoice because my brother just got a job that he's been praying for, my sister got healed, God just heard a prayer that someone's been praying for a family member, and they've come back to the Lord, I can rejoice. And so God is saying, don't just think about you. I'm doing so much, giving you so many reasons to rejoice, but you're not seeing it. So rejoice with those that rejoice. Amen? That's one of the principles taught to us from the scripture. One joy is not to be restricted to our own circumstance and to our own achievements, but we are to find occasions to rejoice with someone else. This might mean that we have to play a role in bringing joy to someone else's life. If you're down and depressed, do something for someone else. It can be anything that you bring, anything that will bring a smile to another's face and lift their soul. In serving others, you can find joy. Our joy is often self-centered, so restricted to our own circumstances, that unless things go the way we want them to go, we can't be happy. No matter what circumstances, no matter what profession, no matter what state you live in, no matter what you're trying to do, that's the will of God, that you be grateful, thankful, rejoicing in the Lord. That's the will of God. Amen? And so that's where we have to realize that so many times we struggle. I need the will of God. I need the will of God. Well, God is telling you what the will of God is. He wants you to rejoice. He wants you to be thankful. He wants you to not worry. Don't be anxious for anything, but with prayer and supplication, make your requests be known to him. That's what he wants. He wants you to receive all his blessings, but you have to be. This is how we receive from God, right? And you know what gets me to do this? Worship. My hands get lifted up, and I start worshiping. But now I'm not like this, so he can't try to give me something when I'm not ready to receive. But when I'm like this, I'm able to receive from him. And he makes it so easy, because I'm looking up also. I'm looking up, and I'm giving him the praise and the glory he deserves. I'm thanking him for what he already did. So it's easy for him to say, here, this is yours. Another testimony, I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, I was in the Bronx, and I don't even remember the service. I just remembered that I went to church, I had a great service, left the church, and when I left the church, a lady just tapped me on the shoulder. She says, the Lord gave you new lungs. I said, okay, I didn't think anything of it. A year went by, and the Lord right here told me, new lungs. And what you don't know is that I was diagnosed with asbestos in the lungs because I served in the military. I was one of the ones that used to cut up the lagging on the pipes. And we didn't wear a mask because we didn't know it was bad. It was from 83 to 87. And so as a young man, fit, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. My chest felt like an elephant was on my chest, and I couldn't breathe. And God gave me new lungs, and that was 40-something years ago. And all I did was worship my God with all my heart. That's all I did that day. And we miss the mark. We miss the mark when we don't give God what he deserves. And he wants healing for his church. And he wants salvation for your family members. But we have to give him what he deserves. And that's rejoicing in his goodness, rejoicing in his mercy, rejoicing in love and kindness. Amen? Amen. The command to rejoice is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. We can gain a better understanding of what exactly it means to rejoice always when we read the command in context. We need to understand what precedes and what follows the word, rejoice always, to fully understand Paul's message to Thessalonians. Paul primarily intent was to exalt and comfort the Thessalonian believers. He encourages them to daily live in a way that pleases God. He warns them to be prepared at all times for Christ's return. Paul chooses his epistle with a to-do list to aid the church in their daily living and in relating to one another. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, comfort and edify one another. Verses 12 and 13, respect all leaders. Verse 14, warn the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with one another. Verse 15, treat everyone with kindness. 16, rejoice always. 17, pray without ceasing. 18, give thanks. 19, do not quench the Holy Spirit. 20 and 21, test all teachings. 22, avoid evil. And we would be blessed that we follow these instructions, because he said this was to be prepared for what? For the Lord's return. That was back then. What do you think today? If your head is not in the sand, and sometimes we do that because we're busy, there are signs everywhere saying it's time to get ready, church. Things in Israel that's going on, get us closer. Things that are happening in this world, get us closer to the return of the Lord. The gospel, for so many years, I thought of myself. I said, you know what? The Lord's going to take a little bit longer because the gospel has to go to the whole world. But do you understand that with technology today, it wouldn't take much for broadcast to go throughout the world? So for us, it's to get ready, because no one knows the hour. But the Lord says, be ready at all times for his return. And if we go home before that, wouldn't it be good for us to have been ready, right? Amen. So be ready. And then do the things that he tells us to do. We are to love what he loved and hate what he hates. And then this way, we're safe. We're safe with what? With the enemy's lies, that we don't align ourselves up with the enemy in any way. God is not trying to be restrictive in any way to us. What he's trying to do is protect us from the enemy's plans and plots to lie, because he'll lie outright and then he'll have partial truths, and even them will lead us to the wrong way. So God is giving us directions. These exhortations are a great reminder to all Christians. Our circumstance and feelings should never stop us from rejoicing or praying, giving thanks, showing respect, and acting kindly. When we adjust to God's way of thinking and relating to others, we are reminded that as Christians, we can even rejoice in the midst of trials and suffering because of the pattern established by Christ Jesus, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Amen. And so we should be able to tolerate whatever we have to tolerate, right? Because we know our future. And again, and if that's our hope, rejoice in the hope of what? In the hope of glory, in what Christ has already accomplished on the cross from us. If we can rejoice in that, then you know what? It doesn't matter who's elected. It doesn't matter that we're living in a country that turned their back on God. It doesn't matter what anybody's doing, because this is temporary. And you know what? One day I'm going to be before the Lord. And you know what's going to happen? All this won't even be a thought in my mind. The only thing I'll be thinking about is God's goodness, his mercy, his loving kindness. I made it. And like I've been telling my friends, I said, the only thing I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. And so that should be our goal, that we hear that, because nothing else is going to matter. Amen? Our exhortation to rejoice always is found elsewhere in Scripture as well. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice is not a suggestion. It is a command, and it's commanded always. We can always choose to praise the Lord. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. If we are always filled with the Spirit causes us to rejoice, then it follows that we will rejoice always. We can rejoice always because our God's salvation. No one and nothing can take away our salvation. Amen? Romans 8:37-39. Those who believe in Christ are God's children, and nothing can change that. Amen. We can rejoice always, even in persecution. And I know we don't speak about persecution much, but you know what? It's a reality that we have to face. That many brothers and sisters throughout the world are facing persecution because of their faith. And if it comes down to us having to deny Christ or be persecuted, what are we going to do? I pray that you're praying. I pray that you say, Lord, help me be bold on that day, because he will. But you have to ask that. You have to, Lord, help me. Help me be strong, because you deserve that, Lord. You deserve our faithfulness. You deserve unconditional love, because that's what you've shown us. But if you're not praying that, where will you be? How will you stand? Don't leave it up to chance. Pray, Lord, help me be bolder than ever. Help me declare your word, not just in words, but in action. The world needs to see a church that loves them. And he's given us everything that we need, right? The word of God declares he's giving you everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's for us to use it, amen? The apostles were arrested and flogged for preaching the name of Christ. But when they left the courtroom, they were rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Acts 5:41. Obviously, the apostles remembered Jesus' statement in Matthew 5:11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. The eternal perspective helps rejoice always. Amen? Amen. We can rejoice always knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. We can rejoice always knowing that in all things, God works for the good to those who love him. Romans 8:28. We can rejoice always knowing that God's gift and his calls are irrevocable. Romans 11:29. We can rejoice always knowing that one day we will inhabit the New Jerusalem. We will see the Lord face to face, and we will in a perpetual day. Revelations 22:1-5. Our rejoicing should be in what the Lord has done, continues to do, and will do in the future, regardless of our circumstances or feelings. Our hope is in the Lord, for he is our rock and our salvation. Psalm 62:6. There alone is the reason enough to rejoice always. Amen. God bless you. I think I have to wrap up. I have so much more. But you know what? I'm just going to give you this. And then I'm going to ask that today, if you want somebody to stand with you and pray, we're going to pray. Because we need strength for what's coming. And I don't know what's coming. But the word of God declares that there's going to be evil days, and we're in those evil days. And so as much as we can pray and trust God for, we need to receive what we can from him. And he has strength for us today. Rejoice in, your name is written in the book of life. Luke 10:19-20. A sinner came to repentance and accepts the Lord as Lord and Savior. Reasons to rejoice. Luke 15:4-7. In hope, rejoice in hope. Romans 5:3-4. In trials and tribulation. 1 Peter 4:12-13. In truth, rejoice in truth. Who's truth? God is truth. Jesus is truth. Rejoice. In 1 Corinthians 13:6, in salvation, rejoice in your salvation. Psalms 13:5. Rejoice in God's mercy. James 2:12-13. There's so many reasons to rejoice, but it always comes down to a choice. And I pray that you choose to rejoice in the Lord, because he'll give you the strength that you need for tomorrow, if you are in the right place. And the right place is praise, gratitude, humble before the Lord. Amen? God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, let's just stand for a minute. Let's rejoice. Hallelujah. Father, we rejoice in you today. Your word says, count it all joy whenever we're in the midst of tribulation and trials. And so, Lord God, we count it all joy. We rejoice and worship you and praise you today. We thank you, Father God, that in Christ we have the victory no matter what the circumstances look like. And in the midst of the circumstances, our eyes are on you. We set our eyes on you, Father God. We rejoice in all that you have done and all you're yet to do, Father God, because as we have stated before, we're more than conquerors because of your love. So no matter what comes our way, we're not going under, we're going over, Father God. We thank you for it and give you praise in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? The main thing there, remember, now James 1 says that when you fall into diverse temptations and trials and all these things, you count it all joy. Amen. Now, you know, the scripture he mentioned, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it talks about rejoice in the Lord. Always again, I say rejoice. And then it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. But it doesn't say for everything you give thanks. In the midst of everything you give thanks. Because you know what? You don't thank God for the things he did not do. Some things the enemy has done. Amen. And so you don't thank him for sickness because he's not the author of sickness. He's the author of healing for our bodies. Amen. Let's just stay in an attitude of reverence toward him right now. And we never want to end a service without this opportunity. If you're here today and you'd say, I'm not absolutely sure that if I were to breathe my last breath, that I'd be in the presence of God. I'm not absolutely sure that I'm in right standing with God. The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. The reason you can know is because it's not based on you earning it or working for it. It's based on you placing faith in the work of Christ and what he has done. And he died for you. He loved you so much. He gave his life. Loved you so much that he gave his life. If you were the only one, he'd have gave his life for you because of his love for you. He loved you so much that he gave his life. And so all we do is place our faith in Christ and receive him as our Lord and Savior. And so if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Lord and never received, therefore, forgiveness for your sin, today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow could be too late. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and that reveals you or that is what your state is, that's the situation you're in, you've never accepted Christ, would you be so bold, have enough guts to say, I don't care. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I need Jesus in my life today. Would you lift your hand up high so I can see it? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come up. But we're all going to pray together, lest there be even one here today. I see one hand. Anybody else? I see two hands. Anybody else? You've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior today. You're not absolutely sure. All right, we're going to pray this prayer. Everybody in the house, let's pray this prayer together. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus died for my sins. I believe with all my heart that he not only died, but he rose again from the dead, and he's alive. And so today, I turn from sin, and Lord, I turn to you. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender to you, and with your help, from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord, shall we? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.